Let's turn then to God's Word, and we're turning to Jeremiah and chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 4 through to verse 13, and then we'll look at one verse over in John chapter 7. Remember, this is inspired by the living God, and this is what he wants to say to us tonight. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 4. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passeth through and where no man dwelleth. And I brought unto you and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Shittim, and see, and send under Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. And the one verse over in John chapter 7, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And amen. God will bless the reading of his word. Keep your Bible handy, won't you? An advertising slogan of the Pepsi Cola company had three words. It said, hits the spot. That advert is from 1939. And they were saying that Pepsi Cola, that drink from America, it hits the spot. They only needed the three words, because those three words gave the impression to the consumer of a hot day, of a parched, dry mouth, longing for a drink to quench their thirst. And so all they needed to know was that Pepsi Cola hits the spot. And some tuning in tonight all of a sudden are feeling thirsty. And because I have talked about that advert, they're thinking, my, wouldn't it be lovely just to have a cool drink of Pepsi, and it just maybe would hit the spot. The prophet Jeremiah lived about 600 years before Christ. And he detected a different kind of thirst in the population of his day. A deep thirst, a soul thirst, a thirst that wasn't satisfied by normal everyday things. It was an inner search and longing for something that would spiritually hit the spot. Something that would bring completion and contentment and satisfaction to a weary soul in a weary world. Jeremiah was known as the prophet of tears, or the weeping prophet. He was born in a little tiny village 3 miles north of Jerusalem called Anatoth. It's still there today. It's called Anata. It's a Palestinian town on the west bank of Jerusalem. And that's where Jeremiah was born about 600 years BC. Jeremiah lived in a momentous time in history. It was a time of massive change. It was a time both of change nationally and internationally, indeed globally. Most of the big world religions have their foundation in this period of history. Buddhism, that is the fourth largest religion in the world, has 520 million followers, finds its roots at the time of Jeremiah. Hinduism, that is the third biggest world population with 1.25 billion followers, have its roots at the time of Jeremiah. And Confucianism, it has its time away back. Well, Confucius was born in 551 BC, lived through to 429 BC, and so it has its roots right back at the term of Jeremiah. And so we see that Jeremiah was preaching the word of God at a time whenever things massively were happening. New ideas were coming to the fore. And they all commenced in his period. It coincided with seismic change in the balance of world powers. And Jeremiah, the preacher, was observing these changes and watched as the nation of Israel abandoned the God of their heritage, abandoned the God Jehovah of their forefathers, and started to run after these modern ways of thinking. They seemed exciting. They seemed new. They seemed relevant to them. And they said, "Oh, we don't want the old stuff. We don't want what our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents. We want something new." And he sensed that there was a turning away from the God of heaven to follow after other gods and other ideas and other theologies. And he sensed that with all the modern wisdom, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, he noticed that there was a vacuum. There was an emptiness within the human heart. A spiritual thirst, if you will. And Jeremiah, with his poetic language, he imagined them building cisterns to hold water, but these cisterns were broken and couldn't contain any water. The more you put in, the more it filtered out the bottom, and whenever they went to quench their thirst, there was nothing. It was empty. There was nothing to meet their need. They say that history repeats itself. And in our day, 2,600 years later, we're again at a time of national and global uncertainty. Just like Jeremiah. And we're again seeing the truth of the Bible abandoned and sidelined and marginalized. And people embrace the new gods that they see, the gods of pleasure and leisure and self-satisfaction. But like in Jeremiah's day, those who are discerning, if you look behind the thin facade, you will find a vacuum. You will find an emptiness in the human heart. You will find a spiritual thirst that Jeremiah noticed in his day, 600 years before Christ. I say to you tonight that we in our day need something that hits the spot. Something that quenches the deepest need of our heart. Something that satisfies the soul. Something that is worthwhile whenever we're on our own and things go wrong and it seems life is starting to crumble, we need something that will sustain us and satisfy us. Did Jeremiah discover any solutions in his day? I believe he did. In fact, this morning as Aaron did the children's talk and he brought the watering can and his message, I thought he was going to steal my message for tonight. But he didn't quite do that. But I want you to notice what Jeremiah said to the people of his day, because I think we can echo it in our day. First of all, verses 5-7, he says, examine your past. Listen to the words of Jeremiah. Verse 5, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me and have walked after vanity and have become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. I brought you into a plentiful country, and so on. He says, examine your past. Look what God has done for you in the past. What an amazing history Israel, of course, has. Liberated from Egypt. We were thinking of that at the Lord's table this morning, that night of Passover, and how the blood was applied to the doorpost and the lintel. Of course, that was the end of the story, in a sense, because Moses had arrived and tackled Pharaoh, do you remember, and said, let my people go. Pharaoh says, I'm not letting anybody go. And we find the 10 plagues that God sent on the nation of Egypt, and how there was the final plague of the death of the firstborn son in each family. And Pharaoh was brokenhearted. And God said to Moses, tell the people, take a lamb, a specific lamb, watch over it, make sure it's perfect. And on a given night in the evening, you kill the lamb, you put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And the promise of God is, when I see the blood, I will pass over. I'll not bring judgment. As long as I see the blood's been applied. Can I pause it? Tell me, has the blood of Calvary been applied to your life? As God's judgment comes, can I say, no, I'll pass over, because the blood is applied to that heart. That person has trusted the Savior. That person is resting in Calvary's love. The blood is applied. I'll pass over. Oh, we think of those 40 years in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. Whenever they got hungry, he sent the manna that they gathered Monday through to Friday evening, and then on the Sabbath it wasn't there, and then Sunday it started again, the manna that fed them. There was a time whenever they sinned, and he sent the serpents, and God told Moses to put a brass serpent on a pole in the midst of the camp, and if they look to the serpent, they'll be saved. Speaking of Calvary once more. And then when there came that time 40 years down the road, when they went into Canaan, the land of promise, and Moses is now dead, and Joshua has taken the mantle, that military commander, and Jericho falls in Joshua chapter 6. And eventually Ai, after a little hiccup, Ai is captured, and all of a sudden all the land of Canaan comes under control. And the climax comes in Joshua 21 verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. It was all done. God had kept his promise. But Jeremiah reveals what they did with that. We read this evening in verse 7. And I brought you into a bountiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. So Jeremiah tells them to look at their past. Dear friend, tonight I am no Jeremiah. But I encourage you to examine our past. I ask you to look at our impressive spiritual heritage. My, we could go back, couldn't we, to 1859, just up the road in Kells, a little hamlet just up the road from Ballymena. And there in that little home, they started to pray. James McQuilkin, Jeremiah Manele, Robert Carlyle, John Wallace. We have a relative of Robert Carlyle who's a member in our fellowship here. And they started to pray and God moved in our community, in our district. And in 1 year, an estimated 100,000 souls were ushered into the kingdom. Oh, what a heritage. My, we could think over in 1904, the revival hits Wales. Preachers like Joseph Jenkins, a Methodist preacher, and Evan Roberts, and Seth Joshua, and men of that ilk who preached fearlessly up and down the coal mines, saw people swept into the kingdom. And then in the 1920s, W.P. Nicholson, a man from Bangor, just down in the coast, and he was anointed by God to preach, and he saw a great spiritual harvest. Pubs were closed in our province. Not only so, but Harland and Wolff, the great shipbuilders there in Belfast, they built a hangar to return all the stolen goods that the men had stolen over the years. But they were now saved and they wanted to return them. Oh, what a heritage. We could think of the Isle of Lewis in Scotland, 1949, Duncan Campbell. Two wee ladies praying and sent word for him to come. And at first he refused and then he went. They said he walked through the streets. People in the houses that couldn't even see him were being hit with the conviction of God. Even before the meeting started, people were falling on their knees. Oh, what a heritage we have. What a godly heritage. We're a privileged nation. And as we look around today, we see empty churches. We see empty hearts. We see a spiritually thirsty generation. Tonight I point you to the one who is the Creator God of heaven. He is our heritage. He is the foundation of our nation. He's the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Dear friend, I point you back to the cross of Calvary, God's answer to the spiritual thirst in the human heart, a heart that's awakened by the Holy Spirit. There is enough in Calvary. There is His mercy, His grace, His provision to satisfy the human heart. I point back to a God who loved you so much that He sacrificed His Son on your behalf. I point to the Savior who in 2020 can still bring joy and still bring satisfaction and still bring wholeness and still bring peace to the human heart. Listen, dear friend, this God has not changed since the 1859 revival up the road in Kells. This God has not changed from the 1920s of W.P. Nicholson, who saw a mighty moving of God. And He can make an impact on your life tonight. Wherever you are, wherever you sit, wherever you listen, the God of our past is also the God of the present. And just as He met the need and moved in revival in days gone by, He can bring revival to your soul. He can satisfy your heart. You say, preacher, well, I tell you, I know Christians and they're not very joyful. And I know Christians and they don't seem very satisfied and they don't have much peace. I know that we're still in this fallen world. But listen, don't look at them. Look at the one who can meet your need. Look at the one who can satisfy the heart, who can remove sin and give you a new birth, a new start, a new beginning, and give you the power to live for him day by day. Says Jeremiah, examine your past. That's what we tell you tonight. Examine your past. But then Jeremiah says to the people, examine your present. Jeremiah uses this illustration of a water cistern. I find it interesting that Jeremiah would, under inspiration, use water as a metaphor for human need. They tell me that water covers 3/4 of our planet. There's no shortage of water. And yet, it's in desperate need. They're crying out for it in many, many parts of the world. For example, the ice of Antarctica contains 3/4 of the world's fresh water supply. Any amount of it. But it's very hard to get that transported to the desert landscape of Ethiopia. It's hard to get it there. And as we take that picture of the water cistern and we bring it up to our situation, I tell you, there is spiritually, there is no shortage of God's mercy. There is no shortage of God's grace. God's love is completely sufficient to meet all the need of humanity. His mercy and his grace are abundant. There's no worry about him running out of supply. There's enough for your heart and mine. But the difference is this. They tell us that we can only survive about 3 days without water to drink. But it's possible to live a whole life without a spiritual thirst for God. See the difference? You can only last 3 days without getting a drink to replenish the fluids in your body. But you can live a whole life without God's salvation and be lost for all eternity. Tell me, are you trying to cope with a broken cistern? And you try all the things that you think will bring satisfaction to the human heart, but deep down you know there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no hope for eternity. And as quickly as the water flows in, it flows out the other side. Oh, we could spend time in this, couldn't we? We could talk about the broken cistern of education. Education's good now. It's good to have an education. Easy carried, my father used to say. A good education's easy carried. So it is. But it doesn't satisfy the deepest need of the human heart. And there's people who have brains that are amazing and they can work out so many things and they're very at the top of their career. And yet their heart is empty. There's the broken cistern of materialism, the accumulation of things. And they have to have the latest computer and the latest car and the latest this and the latest that. And they hope if they get it that they'll be satisfied. And then a new model comes out and the old one's no interest to them anymore. They want the latest one. The manufacturers love them. They think this is great. And they're always bringing a new gimmick and a new something else. And they have to have the latest iPhone and they have to have the latest computer and they have to have the latest this. But when you go behind the surface, they're still empty. You could have a doctorate in theology but be blind to your sin and oblivious to your need of a Savior. You could have the latest gadgets that this world has to offer and people come into your house and they're so impressed. But whenever your neighbors and friends go home and you're sitting amongst all your gadgets, you're still empty inside. Some have tried the cistern of alcohol, drugs, popularity, fashion, beauty, sport. Whatever is keeping you tonight from Jesus Christ, whatever is keeping you tonight from putting your trust in the one who died for you on the cross, is a broken cistern. Its waters will fail, and it will never satisfy. How do I know? Well, at the end of our Bible in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, we have this warning. Those not found written in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire. You get your name in the book of life whenever you come to Jesus Christ and you repent of your sin and you put your trust in Him and you say, Jesus died for me. He died to take my punishment. He died to pay the price for my sin. He took my place. He took my death. I'm trusting in Him. I'm giving Him my life. I'm surrendering to Him. And instantaneously, your name is written indelibly in the book of life. Tell me, is your life a broken cistern? And tonight finds you miserable. Oh, you enjoy your friends. The television can distract you. But when bedtime comes and you go to close your eyes with your head on the pillow, and the sneaking thought comes into your mind, where will I be if I don't see tomorrow? Where will I be if tomorrow never comes? You need Christ the Savior. Jeremiah, preaching 600 years BC, he said, examine your past. This is the God who brought you out of Egypt. This is the God who brought you through the wilderness. This is the God who brought you into the promised land. Look at His credentials. Look at His track record. Oh, can I not do the same? Examine your past. This is the God who changed our nation. This is the God who still changes lives today. This is the God I trusted as a teenager, and I've never, never regretted it. This is the God who died, who sent His Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. Shed His blood that you may go free. Examine the present. Jeremiah says it's a broken cistern. You try Buddhism and Hinduism and Confucianism and all the gods that you want. You try, but it's like a broken cistern. It doesn't hold. And when you go to get a drink to satisfy your thirst, there's nothing there. Dear friend, that's exactly the situation we have tonight. Examine the present. Look into your heart. I say with the hymn writer, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in Thee. But Jeremiah went a wee bit further. Examine your past. Examine your present. But then he told the people to embrace God's future. Jeremiah's message was very simple. It wasn't hard to understand. His message was this: repent and return to the God that you have forsaken. Repent, turn away from your sinful life and lifestyle, your sinful way of thinking, your sinful value system. Turn away from that, repent of that, and return to the God who you have forsaken. And I'm stealing Jeremiah's message, because that's exactly the message I have for you tonight. Repent. Believe. Trust the God that you've forsaken. Trust Him. Trust the one who died for you on the cross. Dear friend, Jeremiah's preaching was not a suggestion. Jeremiah did not say to him, now, this is my recommendation to you. No. No. Jeremiah stood and he said, this is the command of the living God of heaven. This is not an option among many. This is your only option, and this is a command from the throne room of God. Dear friend, it still is. I'm not asking you to consider it, think about it, ponder it. No, it's more direct than that. I'm telling you to do it. I'm telling you that without Jesus Christ, there is no hope beyond the grave. I'm saying that without Jesus Christ and Him crucified and your trust in that finished work, there is no answer for getting into heaven. You can't be there. The Lord Jesus put it like this in John 7. It was the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths or Sukkot. And He was there at the feast. This year, I think Sukkot is the 2nd of October, from sunset on the Friday through to nightfall on the 9th. From the 2nd to the 9th, that lasts a week. That's Sukkot this year, the Feast of Tabernacles. It is one of the three feasts that all native-born Jewish males have to attend. It's a pilgrimage. People come from all parts of the world to be in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, for the Feast of Booths. And so it was in the Lord's Day. It was the last day of the feast. The pilgrims were weary. Water supplies were low. They were parched in the Mediterranean heat. And the Lord Jesus stood and said to them on the last day, that great day of the feast, He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. He that believeth in Me, as the Scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." What an amazing statement. The Lord Jesus is saying, come to Me, and if you drink of Me, if you get Me in your life, if you get Me in your heart, then out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There will be a perpetual satisfaction. Amazing, isn't it? I can't think of anybody who wouldn't want that. An internal, deep spring of satisfaction, that living water. It implies fullness and completeness to a point of overflowing. It implies sweet coolness and refreshment. It implies vitality and growth and life. But the Lord Jesus is not a poet. He's not playing with words to stir your emotions. He's referring to spiritual reality. This is an offer of inward peace that you can have when sin is gone and you're born anew. Dear friend, this hits the spot. This hits the spot spiritually. Nothing else will. Nothing else can. But Jesus Christ, when you trust Him, will meet the deepest need of your heart. This is universal, but please notice, it is conditional. It is universal, that's why I can preach it to you and don't even know who you are. Don't know where you're listening. But it is universal, but it is conditional. It is offered to all, but only those who are thirsty will have any interest. If you're satisfied in yourself, you'll have no interest in this water that Christ can give. And that is why people can come to church and can listen to broadcasts like this, and it goes in one ear and out the other. They have no interest. It doesn't mean a thing to them. It all seems like a foreign language. But when the Holy Spirit creates in a heart a spiritual thirst, whenever the Holy Spirit creates a spiritual longing for something that satisfies not only for now but eternity, There is a craving, a longing to know that inner well of salvation. And my prayer is that now, 20 past 7 on the 20th of September 2020, I think, that right now the Holy Spirit will create in your soul a thirst and a longing to know sins forgiven and know that all is well for eternity. To know Him in your life as your Lord and Savior by His Spirit. Christ died for you. He rose again to provide that which hits the spot. It's not Pepsi Cola. That might meet the need and hit the spot of the physical. But only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Only that one who took your place at the cross. Only He can quench the deepest need of your heart. You can trust Him tonight. You can come to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm turning away from my sin. That's repentance. And I'm embracing Christ who died for me. I believe it. I see it. I'm trusting Him. I'm surrendering my life to Him. And somewhere in glory, maybe an angel, I don't know, will inscribe your name in the book of life. Christ died for you and rose again to provide salvation that hits the spot. And nothing else will. Repent, believe, and trust Him tonight. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your word to our hearts. We thank You that You can take a guilty sinner with all the messed up brokenness of life, and You can provide a well of satisfaction in the soul. We thank You for Your love and mercy and grace. We thank You for the Lord Jesus who came to die on the cross to provide salvation to all who will come. And our Father, we pray that even now You will create in men and women and young people a thirst, a longing to be right with God. Move in our community. Move in all those who are tuning in tonight. And do a work for eternity. Grant it for Christ's sake.